This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is Frosted Tips with me, Lance, right here on iHeart. I have my co-host with the most.
I was hoping you'd say that. Yeah, of course.
Co-host with the most?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Turkey Turchin, Michael Turchin.
Hello there, everyone.
My hubby. I'm so glad that you're actually here because, you know, when you listen to the first couple episodes of this, you disappeared.
I was gone.
And I was like, I swear we're still together. Everyone thought we were like divorcing or something.
I know.
And they're like, and I do because a lot of people out there have been asking, oh, why do you call us penis? I don't call you my little penis.
You literally just said penis.
I did. What?
Yes, you literally said penis.
When I opened up the show?
No, just now.
No, I know. I meant to. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was like,
no, I'm saying they're like, why do you call us little penises? And it's little peanuts. And I have to say, I don't even know where it came from.
I know.
When I was doing my show years ago, it was a live show. And then I've never done radio before except being interviewed. And they're like, okay, 3, 2, 1, go. I'm like, And the only thing I could think of was like, hello, my little peanuts. And it just stuck
from that day.
And so I just think it's a cute little term of endearment for the listeners out there. I mean, who doesn't want to be a little peanut?
You know, like Charlie Brown and the Peanuts.
And the Peanuts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This week was very exciting for us because, for those of you that don't know, we have 15-month-old baby twins.
Yes.
And we were super excited that we finally got to meet our egg donor.
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of the times you don't get to meet your egg donor because it's anonymous.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know her name. For 3 years now, we had pictures of her, right? So, I mean, we knew
we knew all about her history and her family history.
She's Argentinian.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to meet us. And so she came over to the house, met the kids, and it was so special. She is such a cool girl. I mean, so cool. And she looks just like our son. I mean, it is uncanny.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And she was... like, obviously, we knew what she looked like in the photos, and we're like, oh, wow, she's a beautiful girl.
She's a
beautiful
lady. She's a looker, yeah.
She is gorgeous.
I mean, in person, even more gorgeous.
I know.
Yeah. Ew. Yeah. Good thing we have a few more embryos.
Better look like your mama.
See, babe, don't you want to have another one?
Absolutely not at this moment.
I'm trying to convince him to have another baby, and I know, okay, we have a few more months to decide, but I want a third or a fourth.
I'm sure our guest Jeff, he has a lot of knowledge on multiple children.
It's very true. So let's introduce our guest of the day, Jeffrey Brandon Timmons. All right, pop singer, songwriter, producer from Canton, Ohio, founding member of the Grammy-nominated pop group 98 Degrees. Studied psychology at Kent State. See, I'm learning all kinds of... No, you did not.
Not really.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we're going to get into that. Decided to move to LA to pursue a career in entertainment. Okay, let's just get into this because I didn't know really the origin story of 98 Degrees, and it started with you.
Well, just kind of on a whim, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been in singing all my life and choir and all that stuff.
Because I heard that through the grapevine that you were in college or something, and you're trying to impress some girls, and you're like singing, and that's how it all
kind of
started.
It's a really tacky story. Yeah. It is. You guys have this great story of being, you know, with all this stuff, and we have a different story. And it wasn't exactly like I set out to do it. I had some experience in quartets, but where I'm from is a small town that's all about football, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so, I always shied away from the arts, and then one night we were at this party, and these girls would not talk. I was in college, and I had run into some kids that I went to school at high school with, and, you know, these girls would not talk to us at all. And I was like, well, why don't we sing them a song? Like, let's sing an a cappella song. So I picked three guys that I was with, and we parted out my girl and sang it to them, and then they talked to us.
This is like this is a movie
this
moment.
This is like a joke,
just
yeah.
Like starts doing choreography
together. Yeah, it's like the most, you know, and so I was like, all right, well, this is it. I saw the reaction, and then I just felt something crazy about it. Literally, my mom thought I was crazy. I was like a quarter, not even a semester, away from graduating with my psych degree, which
I was
lucky.
Oh my gosh, you left just a quarter semester before?
Yeah, a quarter, yeah. That's amazing. I called my parents that night. Obviously, there were some drinks involved to make this decision. decision. And then I was like, hey, this is it. I called my mom. I'm like, I'm quitting school. I'm going to start a group. We're going to go to LA because you didn't have YouTube and Snapchat and social media to break or American Idol or anything. You had to go to where the scene was at.
Yep.
And so she's like, yeah, sure, honey. How much have you had to drink? And I was like, a lot, but this is what I want to do. And then we could quit school and then drove to LA a couple of weeks later to try to pursue it. We had nothing going on. We had no inroads, no connections, any of that stuff. We just we moved out west, and that was it.
Did you know the other guys at that point?
Yeah, I'd gone to school with them, but I didn't know them as singers. They were all jocks. They were all football players. Uh-huh. But you know, I thought there was a certain ring to the sound, and it was a really kind of impulsive decision. But there was something about it that I really kind of wanted to do, and the reaction was cool. And my parents, although very strict about school, they were like, look, if you really are feeling this, I mean, this is something you've always had a knack for, we're behind it. You can always go back to school. Mm-hmm. And then, they kind of have, supported what I did. And awesome. And then we got lucky, those guys I was with quit when we were in LA out here. We had some.
Were there three of them?
There were three other guys. Okay. Yeah. We had some opportunities. I mean, we would sing everywhere for food and money and acapella. You guys know how it goes.
We all started the same way. Yeah. For sure. Where are those guys now? Do you still keep in touch?
Well, I've always stayed in touch with them. I always felt bad because they were very talented guys. Mm-hmm. Probably not, obviously not to the level of, Nick and the crew that I ended up being blessed to be with. But, I write with them all the time. I co-produce a lot of music for them. They've done a lot of stuff on the production side of things. And I always wanted to give back to them because I felt bad. Although they made the decision to quit. I just kind of felt bad that here, literally like minutes later almost that, we ended up getting signed and basically they took the ball to the 5-yard line and then dropped it.
So that's kind of what happened. Well, I mean, I replaced someone in NSYNC. They had a bass singer that was friends with Joey and he was like, I just don't want to do this because it was, the kid market. He didn't want teenage market after him. We got signed like just a few months later. And he went back to delivering pizzas.
Oh my goodness, man. Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you replaced him.
It's literally the market you want to get.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, we know that now, right?
Exactly who's listening right now. Tweens and teens. That's the market we want.
Everybody wants that market. Yes.
So the lesson is here, kids, quit school, follow your dreams, and just throw caution to the wind and just do it. Just kidding. No, go to school, kids.
Yeah,
go to
stay school. In school. Yeah. We don't encourage encourage that.
All right. So, how did you end up meeting all of the guys? And do you remember that first moment that y'all sang together for Port Harmony?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty interesting because I got an odd job. I really wanted to do it and stick with it, and I was out here by myself. And so I was like, I got a job working security at all the clubs, and I actually worked at Phil Collins' house that was being built in Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's fun.
And did all these different things, but I would, again, no social media back then, so you're putting ads in newspapers, and I'm auditioning people when I'm off the clock, and I couldn't find anybody. You would think in L.A., the mecca of entertainment, and people that are trying to make it, you'd find somebody. I found nobody. And then I ran into a guy. I went on a random audition for a commercial for just a random thing. And I ended up getting the commercial. It was a Navy commercial. And then the woman that got me that gig, it was actually my brother's roommate's agent. He wasn't there. So she said, well, you go. And I was like, I'm not an actor. But anyway, she introduced me to a guy that went to school with Nick, to high school with Nick and Drew and Justin. And he was like, I got the perfect guy for you. And he played me a tape. I didn't know what Nick looked like. He had no pictures of him. I'm like, whoever that guy is, get him on the phone. So I called him, talked him into coming out. And I didn't see what Nick looked like until he got to L.A. Several months later. And then he brought his brother out and Justin joined after that. So that's how it all got started. And we sang backstage at the Boys to Men concert, got discovered there.
Oh, that's how it happened?
Yeah, we idolized Boys to Men.
Oh, we all did.
So we snuck backstage.
Started us all.
Yeah, all of us did, right? Yeah. There was, at that time, you didn't hear the word boy band anymore.
Well, there was no such word as boy. Yeah, well, in America, there was no word. Germany, there were
over there,
50 million of them.
It really was just, Boys to Men and Shy and Jodeci, and then you had All for One in there, but there were no boy bands. I mean, think the closest thing to it was maybe New Kids, but that was kind of a generation before us. But
But our generation just grew up on, R&B, soul. I mean, that's just what we lived. I loved meeting you guys because we met over in Europe. Because a lot of people, I don't even think, realize y'all came out before us and Backstreet Boys
we
in America.
We came out right at the same time as Backstreet, but you know, a lot of people know this story, but some people don't. We were signed to Motown, and Motown really wanted people to think we were a black group. We were an urban group. So they didn't put our picture on anything. So you know, we didn't shoot a music video at first. We didn't have our picture on the cover that was sent to the radio stations, and then we would show up to do radio shows at R&B stations, and they were like, "What? Yeah. You guys aren't 90 degrees." So, you know, basically that didn't work, right? Yeah. We didn't fool the public on that one. And so, you know, we had to regroup, and they brought a new president in, and they sent us overseas. And fortunately, we got to meet you guys there. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing them and going, please never let these guys come to the United States. Like, I was like, if they come to the United States, we are finished, right?
No, but I loved being around you guys over there. One, because it was familiar to have just Americans in the room, because we were there for, you know, a couple of years. And we went on some kind of tour. Maybe it was in England. Did we do some radio tour?
We did a couple. I mean, I know there was one called Smash Hit. Or yes. Pepsi Pop. It was one or both of those. And that was where it was like Boy Band Central. There were 20 boy bands.
Because I will never forget, Five was on this tour.
That's right. Now you remember.
And something went down between your groups where someone was trying to beat someone's ass.
Well,
I don't know what happened. Maybe you can explain it.
I mean, look, so when you're younger, you're pretty dumb. And I still am a little
teenagers.
Bit. As in my older middle age. But when we were there, there was, if you remember, there was like a new up and coming competition during that tour, and it was us and Five as to be the new up and coming.
Oh, I didn't know
artist.
That.
Yeah, so and then Jimmy Ray was one of those
Jimmy
guys.
Jimmy Ray,
who Faye
wants
Ray.
To know?
Who wants to know?
That's but what we opened up for Jimmy. That was our first opening act in Los Angeles with Jimmy Ray at the Santa Monica Pier.
I love it.
Good times.
He was like a rockabilly. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember. Who wants to know about me? And that's what he did.
I know. We went from the Janet Jackson Velvet Rope tour to opening up for Jimmy Ray in Santa Monica Beach. You know, it happens. You got to start somewhere.
That's still pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, no, it's great. But I did. We got along with y'all so well. And I now just remember that. Be like, these guys are awesome. We just love doing shows.
Well, you guys had a good vibe. And we're cool to hang out with. And we were had so much respect for your talent. I mean, a lot of those boy bands, you know, we wanted to be considered because we were on Motown, this R&B vocal group. And of course, we bristled back against, you know, being kind of monikered this new boy band. But you guys were a vocal group, and you guys could also dance, too. Mm. And so, you know, some of those other groups, they weren't performing live, and they were, you could tell they were assembled, and they weren't nearly to the caliber.
It was definitely a formula over in Europe.
No question about it, but you guys were killer, I mean, obviously, right? And so we were excited to see you because you were from the States and up and coming, going through the same experiences as we were, right? Mm-hmm. And we just kind of had a connection there with you guys. We didn't really connect with the Backstreet Boys that often, but because they were already, you know, off to the races at that time. But you guys were always fantastic. And what I love about it is none of you guys have changed, you know? Mm-hmm. Every time we run into you or do stuff with you, still have that sort of kinship and good vibe to it. So it's pretty
cool. Except that Joey Fatone. His head's gotten so big now. He doesn't even answer my phone
been
calls.
That way. He didn't change. He was always that way.
You were saying, you know, because Motown and they wouldn't put pictures anywhere. The only country that happened to us was France. Yeah. Like, France was weird back in the day because they would only play 20%, you know, English music. So it was really hard to break that market. And so I guess the record label purposely didn't put our pictures out. And so when we went there for the first time, you know, and fans come to the hotel, and their face when they saw us,
they were like, no way.
So confused. But again, there was no social media. There was no Googling. You just didn't know what some of these bands looked like. But I'll never forget that. It was so funny. And we never went back to France.
And that was it. Like us. And really, a lot of those spots overseas in Europe, and now it's a lot different. You got to break right away, even in the United States. You know, they used to artists develop. So if you didn't break right away, you'd get another shot. But in Europe, you know, if you didn't break right away, that was it. We never broke Europe. We went over there a couple times. Every time we had a different staff. And by the third time, they were like, if you guys aren't breaking now, you're not breaking there.
It's so weird how that works. It was different back in the day because you did have to go to every radio station. So I know it was hard to, you know, get some time to go to France, go to England. England was hard for us because we just didn't go that much.
Yeah.
And I thought we could do much better there. And we had, you know, we'd had top tens, whatever, but it wasn't like America or Germany.
Or Germany. You guys crushed it.
I mean,
Germany
was just our, I mean, that was our home. And for 2 years, we were doing so well there that no one wanted us to go anywhere else. So it was Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Our first number one was in Australia. Never went. We never touched down in Australia.
That's amazing.
Yeah, at all. But then when we came to America and got signed in America, and then just things just went out of control, we never went back
anywhere. I didn't know that. Yeah, never. I didn't know. Well, you didn't need to.
Well,
right?
I mean, but we wanted to, and that's what sucks, because you want to go back to the ones that started you, but the label never wanted to take us out of the country.
Yeah.
And again, it was that time where, because you have to go to every station, and this country is so huge, so you're just constantly on the road going to every little city around the country. And so this, we had no time.
Yeah, and then when one album cycle is done, they're ready to, you know, get in the studio, and then you go do the radio circuit again, right? You visit all 100 stations.
Did you think that your group was handled right by the label? Did y'all have a lot of opinions? You think they worked you a little hard? Because I know, looking back, I would do things differently and say, look, give us just some time down.
Well, look, everybody hates the label, right? I mean, that's sort of the artist-label relationship throughout the tenure of your career and everybody's career. But, you know, with us, it was especially weird because they didn't market us the right way first, right? So the second time around, you know, they really pushed us. And, you know, we did that whole circuit for years and years and years. I mean, I think at one point, you know, you do the radio shows and then you go on your own tour. But for us, it was radio shows for about 3 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would pepper in a small tour, but really, you know, I think that the labels also barred our artists, as we know later, right? You go do the radio show for this ad for another another artist on the label. We didn't know that until many years later. And plus, we were getting compared to you guys, and you guys were bigger than us, and were selling more records and had more presence out there within the media. So, you know, you're always afraid that, okay, we're getting compared to these guys, so we got to keep working, got to keep grinding, and we'll do whatever it takes, you know, to stay relevant and all that stuff and keep our fan base growing. But then there's always the chance that somebody's right behind you too. So I think if to your point, I would love to change some stuff, and it would be not the work ethic and all that, maybe a little less busy work, but to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As we get older, we're like, man, we're pretty lucky to do this and be hanging out here on your podcast and doing a radio show with you guys, you know, pushing close to 30 years later. And that's a blessing, and it's fun. And now we have fun on stage all the time because it's like icing on the cake, right? But back then I would have liked to have taken a deep breath and go, man, this is pretty, pretty awesome. But we were always like, man, grind, grind, grind. Mm-hmm. You know how that goes.
And it's 25 years later. You're still working with the guys. What is next for 98 Degrees? And will we see Nick come in and do something every once in a while?
Yeah. I mean, I think well, that's the plan. I mean, before pre-pandemic, I mean, we were doing a lot of shows, 60 some shows a year, a pretty healthy amount. Yeah. And, you know, look, he obviously hosts a lot of shows. And
he is Mr. Host. And he's like Ryan Seacrest. He has every job and takes every job from me. Nick. Just give me one show.
Well, we're all happy, you know, we're all happy for him that he has those opportunities, and he sort of, you know, formulated those with his hard work and his success. But, you know, we love when he's with us, and we have a blast, right? So when pandemic happened, he started focusing on, you know, what he could do, and a lot was the hosting stuff that took up a primarily most of his time. And then Vanessa got a part on a show, NCIS Hawaii, I think is what it is.
It must suck to live in Hawaii.
Well, they had to move. So, and he's a big family guy. So he didn't want to be away from his kids, you know, juggling that, her shooting schedule and theirs together on some of the stuff they do. So he's not able to do as much. So to your point, and to get to a long-winded answer over with, you know, hopefully this year, you know, in the fall, we're going to be able to do some shows. We plan on doing a tour, you know, fall, end of summer in the fall, when their schedules lighten up a bit. But, you know, in the meantime, we're all keeping busy, which is we're fortunate enough to do. So.
And when I think of 98 Degrees, it also brings, like, I think Christmas, because I think y'all do Christmas so well. I love
hearing y'all
sing Christmas songs. Do y'all plan on doing another album?
You know, there's some talk about us doing new music. We've recorded some songs that we're pretty happy with. And then, you know, I got approached by a label recently that wants us to do another one. I mean, the first one, and I'm glad you recognize that, and thanks for the kudos on it. We were proud of it. I think that's the first Christmas album is the album we're all most proud of, right? It did really well. It sounds great. And, you know, for us and you guys that are a harmony-based group, you don't get to really showcase that on a lot on songs. You just kind of do the hooks or some backgrounds here and there.
I know. That's why I love the Christmas album. that was what, one, I just love Christmas, but we got to go back to our roots, you know, when we were just a cappella groups, and as a bass singer, that's all, you know, that's all I lived for.
and you get to showcase your voice on that. And, and pop songs, you don't really, you know, like Justin in our group, he doesn't get a chance to do it, you know, maybe an octave lower.
And you spend hours in the studio, right? Like hours doing these bass parts, three different types of bass parts. And then they mix it in and just cover it up. And you're like, well, what did I do
with
that
a bass
for?
Line. Like, with a big bass line.
Like, oh my God. Like, why did I spend all this time? Yeah. No, because it was fun. That's why. So you did a show with my boy Chris Kirkpatrick, VH1. I forget what was the name of the show.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, everybody forgot what it was if they even saw it. So
I have a lot of shows like that.
I was prime, boy band fan at that time.
Yeah, you were the age. Yes, sure.
Yeah, because I loved. I mean, I loved Backstreet Boys and I loved NSYNC, and then 98 Degrees. It was that was kind of it.
Yeah.
I especially liked what separated 98 Degrees was that you didn't wear shirts.
That's right.
And I think that really is what you didn't need to dance because, you know, you could make your chest dance.
Well, first of all, we couldn't if we tried. I mean, other than Drew, the rest of us have two left feet. We couldn't dance. But I mean, the show was called Mission Man Band. It was on VH1. And look,
social experiment, putting different members of groups together, see what happens. It was you, Chris Kirkpatrick,
Rich Cronin,
rest in peace. And then Color Me Bad,
Brian Abrams.
Yeah, Brian Abrams, who was going through a lot at that time.
A ton. It was interesting for all of us. I was going through a pretty bad divorce at that time too. And so it was a rough time for all of us, you know. And it's post, you know, having the success of our bands, right? Mm-hmm. And it's when they, you know, it wasn't like now that it's come back around and a nostalgia play with our fans and all that stuff. It was when we were deemed uncool anymore. Yeah. And so I think the show came at an awkward time. Mm-hmm. You know, now it would probably be cool.
How did they convince y'all to do it?
Well, it took them a couple years to convince me because I knew they were going to set us up to be whack. I knew it. But you know, at the time, VH1 had a platform called Urge, which was their version of like iTunes, right? Okay. So, you know, what I kept going back and doing, I was like, all right, look, I'll do it. But my song has to get played on Urge. You got to really push it on Urge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had the top 20 countdown. I was like, you got to put my music video in the top 5. And they're like, well, we can't promise you that. That's payola, but we'll do our best. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put out this record and this show is going to make it. And oddly, I never finished the album, right? Never put it out. And then the show made us look worse than I expected. But honestly, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything because it took me out really far out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And all of us that were involved, that were going through all these different things personally and professionally at the time, we kind of had this bond.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that show made Chris and I close. Of course, Rich and Brian, who had been going through things quite a treacherous time, had some people to lean on. So it was a great experience, believe it or not, even though the show was short-lived, and really what I wanted them to do was film what was going on after the cameras went off, at Chris's house. It was a party the whole time.
Oh, really?
It was wild. It was
fun.
Yeah,
Chris used to, I'm pretty sure still has parties.
Right.
He would have some epic parties at his house in Orlando.
But instead, they kind of had it curated to, get us booed when we went and performed,
All I remember from the show is just one scene with Chris Kirkpatrick, when, they asked him to, sing, and he just was so insecure to sing.
Well, of course. I mean, but we all were so insecure at that time because
you're with a group. And
and it's, you know, like with us, it was, you know, JC, Justin, the three of us, they never would throw us a bone. You know, it was just all about them. And I think, you know, we're good singers. I'm not a great singer, but I'm good.
Oh, you're great, man.
I mean, I'm
good.
Great. You know, I can sing. So when when the band, you know, is over and you're kind of like, okay, what do I do? Yeah, you have this insecurity of like, well, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, know? I mean, look, I wanted to do that, but I like being, you know, getting on stage makes me nervous. In the studio, I love.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to be behind the scenes. Yeah. You know, I love producing other people and putting, you know, different things together and being creative with folks and maybe providing people an opportunity because I've been fortunate. So that was always something that I wanted to do. So I immediately started writing, ghostwriting, because, you know, none of us can write songs, right? Boy bands. Oh, we can't produce them either. Yeah. So I started ghostwriting, producing stuff, producing music for TV. And I was, at the time, I was a young dad. I had two young kids. So I wanted to kind of create my life so I could be with them, as you guys can relate now with your beautiful kids that we saw the other night. So,
well, let's talk about your family. You have five kids.
Yes.
Okay. How, wait, what are the ages now?
So it goes 24, 22,
okay,
21.
I'm going to take a swig of this right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's coffee. We're drinking coffee, but usually it entails heavier substances. But no, yeah, I mean, and then 16, then 11. So we both had two kids from a previous marriage, and then we have one together. So when we first got together, we took our time. I hadn't dated in years. I got a divorce, and I hadn't dated in years. I just hung out with girls and then was like, I'm not getting, you know, married.
But how do you date? I mean, you're Jeff Timmons, right? And you haven't dated in a while. You got married young. You're still young. And now you're in this world of online dating and all of this. Like,
and
how
even
did you
the online
that?
I got divorced pretty quickly. Yeah. So the online stuff wasn't even developed. So I mean, where do you go to meet anybody? Uh-huh. And then what do you say? Like, you know, and I just wanted to be a dad, you know, and so I didn't really kind of ever bring anybody around my kids. And then I met my wife, who was amazing. And we just hit it off, and she was cool, and she had a life of her own. And, you know, when I met her, she didn't know who I was. I mean, literally, she was like, her friends were, and she was like, I don't care. I mean, whatever, right? Which was, you know, you feel like, wow, really? But also, wow, really? It's kind of cool that, you know, and then we
it's
just
like
kind of.
Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
Who's Prince Harry?
I've never heard of this Prince Harry guy.
Learn about him. He was a prince. I didn't know.
Oh, my goodness. The President of the United States.
Did I didn't know.
What is the best thing about being a dad?
Oh, my gosh, everything. Mm. I mean, look, it's you know, we lead a weird lifestyle, right? Mm. And it brings you back down to earth. Mm. And just the things you get to see with your kids, they're all different. They all have their personalities. And you have twins, and they're probably a lot different personality-wise, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, getting to see them develop and have develop their own personalities and what they like to do and just, you know, take pride and trying to get them to be as good as they can and try as hard as they can and love them as much as you can unconditionally. And that's all you can really do, and that's the purest thing we've got, right? Yeah. We've got our parents and siblings, but having children, that part of it's a lot different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then, you know, we go back and do this, and it's crazy, and it's weird, and then you go home, and you're just dad, you know? So my kids, my youngest ones, we had this long hiatus. All they knew me was dad. Yeah, you know, they didn't see me in any other way, which was really cool.
Yeah. We, you know, did a tribute concert for Aaron Carter and raise awareness for children's mental health, which was a beautiful event. I'm so glad that you joined us. That was the first time I brought my kids to my venue. And you were saying, it's like, oh, what? You always wonder what your kids are going to gravitate to, right? So I was so interested to see how they were going to take all this world in, because one, they're COVID babies, so they haven't seen that many people before. But just seeing their personalities and watching you guys on stage, my daughter probably couldn't care less. Like, she was just kind of like curled up with me, like, what is going on? But my boy, I think, got bit by the entertainment bug.
It's interesting, huh?
He was in awe. And putting him on stage and putting a microphone in his hand for the first time, it's like he knew what he was doing. I'm like, oh, Lord,
He was,
Lord.
Like, sucking on the speakers, like, as you all were singing, like, blaring. I'm pretty sure he's deaf now.
Oh,
but but he was, like, hugging the speakers the whole time.
And people tell me all the time, it's like, well, would you mind if your kids go into entertainment? And honestly, I would say, I mean, of course not, but I would not encourage it.
Right.
Be a producer, writer. A drummer, sure, but being a front man or being known, I just don't want that pressure on my kids.
Yeah,
and again, they can be and do whatever they want, but I'm definitely going to, like, don't you like the piano?
That's I share your sentiments. I mean, that's the way I was with my kids. I never really pushed it on them. In fact, my oldest ones didn't see it. They knew a little bit about it, but, you know, I was like, people would always ask us that question, right? Yeah. What if they wanted to be in entertainment? Yeah. And I have the same answer. Yeah. It's so difficult. All jobs are difficult. This one's especially tough. Especially if you don't have thick skin, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
What it does to you inside and emotionally and you know, with your insecurities that everybody has.
And especially with kids, and that's why I'm so glad we did the this benefit concert because it's all about, you know, children's mental health. And you put, I mean, even, I mean, I was 16, I was a kid, but even like Aaron, we starting at 7, 8 years old, what does that do to you in your psyche? Especially being a solo artist. I always said I loved being in a group because it was never about me. I love being with a group of people on stage, having a good old time. But people like Aaron and Brittany and Michael Jackson, it's just always yes, yes, yes,
and
yes,
we,
yes.
And we, 98, we were in our 20s. Yeah. I mean, we weren't even teenagers. Yeah. We were in our 20s.
And it still was, messed you up.
It gave you, an identity crisis, you know, and being in a group. So I can't imagine, you know, or... with all the social media too, right? Like, how is it? What is it like being Justin Bieber? I mean, we had it crazy, you know, couldn't get out of our tour bus and into hotels without social media, you know, knowing everything you do at all times. I don't know how these guys handle it.
You know, phones on your camera, everything you do is documented. It's nuts. Get away with anything.
Yeah. No, and that's what I was talking to my friend. Do you remember Pantera Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a big club promoter here. I mean, the biggest in LA from the late 90s. And now, you know, she's retired from that world. But I mean, she was the one. And she was always, and then it was just fun saver cameras, right? I mean, that's what you had to look out for. But her places were always no cameras allowed.
Yes, that was what was great about her. She had, was Dublin's her thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of them.
I mean, she had every hot spot. But it was so great because our generation, you know, when I was first coming to Los Angeles, you didn't have to worry about anything. No one took pictures. No one talked about you. There was no TMZ out there waiting for you. You could just be who you wanted to be. Now, I don't see anyone really going out in the younger generation that's known because I think they're all just scared to leave their house these days.
Which is totally understandable. Yeah. You know, it's crazy now. Totally crazy.
That's sad. That's sad.
It is very sad.
Looking back, what is your absolute favorite moment in your career?
Oh, man, that's such a tough question, as you know. I mean, look, I haven't done so many cool, been a part of so many cool things. I mean, look, I think, you know, doing a song with Mariah Carey was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or Stevie Wonder. We did a song with Stevie Wonder, right? And Mariah and Joe. And, or, you know, we got to sing at the White House. We got to perform for Michael Jackson on that anniversary special. I mean, we idolized Michael Jackson.
Which song did y'all do with that?
We did Man in the Mirror with Usher and Luther Vandross. So it's
that
like...
That is quite the combo.
You know, I mean, I talk about nerves, like super nervous. You know, don't sing at all, really, next to those guys ever.
That was such a great night. And sadly, I think, you know, that was... 9/11 happened literally
next day.
Days after. Yeah, the next day. So I don't even know if people even... saw that special.
I guess it aired.
Yeah,
it aired.
But it was such a wonderful night because we had just gotten done with the VMAs.
Yep.
We go right into this Michael Jackson 30th anniversary. Every artist was there. You didn't know who was going to perform at all. Michael goes up and performs a whole concert that none of us knew was going to happen.
It was a cool night.
Totally get why people cry because literally had a tear going down. I'm like, why am I crying? Like, what is this? What is he doing to me? But man, what a night. And we got to do Jackson 5. I forget which song we did with them. But just to be able to say, wow, we were the last to sing with the Jackson 5.
That's pretty crazy. Like,
that's a moment. That is a moment. Yeah. All right, let's take a little break here. When we come back, we have more Jeff Timmons. All right, Jeff, we want to go over a little pop culture with you. But first, I have a little questionnaire from August 1999.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
geez.
I want to see if your answers match them today.
Let's do it.
Okay, so here we go. What is your girl type? 99 Jeff Timmons.
I probably said a sense of humor, yeah?
Yes.
Sure, all right, there you go.
Relaxed with a cool sense of humor.
Relaxed with a cool sense of humor. Surprised I put cool in there.
Cool.
I'm so uncool. Maybe that's why I put cool in there. Because.
This is, bet you never knew. Is there something someone didn't know about you? What would you have said?
Oh my gosh, probably a lot.
No.
I don't know, that I played football.
Well, we were just talking about this guy.
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Did I like Michael Jackson?
I guess. In fifth grade, I bought Michael Jackson's Thriller on record and tape and tried to dance like Michael. Oh.
That failed.
That
miserably.
Is something no one knew.
That's right.
You're like Corey Feldman. He's still doing it.
That's right. I had the jacket and everything.
Oh, yeah. I know. I just ran into Corey at the Funko Pop. Oh, you have to go see this Funko Pop store. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, Tracy actually told me about that, and I was at a meeting. I couldn't go. I was going to try to meet up with you guys.
Do it. It is. I've been twice now. It's like you're at Disney World, and I'm such a Funko collector now.
Well, you guys have a Funko doll, don't you?
We do. We have a couple of Funkos.
They don't have any inventory left, though, because Lance literally took all the Funko.
Well, they told me to take. I felt like Joey Fatone. You know, if you
Joey
offer
Fatone
him,
Joey
Fatone. If you offer a swag, Joey's going to take everything.
He gets
right?
all of it. Yeah, takes all of it.
But with the Funko, because you know, they do a little show where they bring in, you know, like Danny DeVito and Freddie Prinze Jr. and you know, and people that have Funkos, and the creator of Funko sits with you, and you build your own Funko as he's interviewing you for 30 minutes.
Oh, that's cool.
Really fun. And then afterwards, they're like, okay, just go through the store and just take whatever you want. And so I'm over there, like in Star Wars, like, okay, I'll take a little Princess Leia here. And then Tracy's like, no, take that. And they just kept loading me up with everything. I walked out with hundreds.
Entire guest bedroom is just Funko dolls and boxes.
It's bad. It's bad. Yeah, it is bad. And I felt so guilty. And then they're like, well, you're definitely the
king of taking the Funko swag.
Yeah, I took the most of any celebrity that's been in there. And I'm like, awesome. But they made me do it.
Uh-huh.
And I have kids.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we made a great Funko Christmas tree this year. It really works. Fans were really upset that I took them out of the boxes. But especially the BTS. There's a big BTS
butter.
Oh,
it's probably like, collector's
collector
item.
Thing. And I, you know, they were in my Christmas tree. Oh my gosh, those BTS fans! How dare you take them out of their box? I'm like, precious. I'm not trying to resell these. I want to enjoy them. One thing. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. When I lived in Russia to train the whole cosmonaut thing, it was such a stressful time, and never had a day off. Hardly had any hours off. But there was when I did have an hour or two off, I would always be invited by the NASA astronauts in their homes. You know, the cosmonauts had crappy apartments and
right.
like it was just didn't even have air conditioning or whatever. But then, of course, the NASA Americans, they had wonderful homes with like added, you know, like two story beautiful homes. So they would invite me sometimes to come have a beer with them. And they built this little makeshift bar in their basement and called Shep's Bar. And it was just really makeshift. But they had a jukebox and they had maybe 8 or 9 songs on there. And one of the songs was Una Noche.
We made it.
And I swear to God, I listened to that song hundreds of times. Hundreds of times while I was over there.
I'm glad someone likes that song. That's
I
great.
Love that song. Are you kidding me?
That was great.
Oh my God. That's probably.
You know, you've made it to a Russian cosmonaut / NASA. Uh-huh.
Like one of 7 songs that they play in Star
7.
City.
You guys are huge at Russian.
Huge now. In Russia.
We're top 7 on the Russian jukebox. Yeah.
Well, with me, you're number 1 because I literally just, we just kept playing it over and
that's
over.
That's a funny story.
Yeah,
I love it.
So
love
I just, it was like a piece of home with me.
Yeah, it's interesting because we almost didn't record that song.
Really?
There were a couple we didn't.
Why was it?
Well, because it was at that time, it was kind of that Latin explosion with Ricky Martin and Enrique and Shakira.
Santana.
So we thought, wow, people are going to think we're trying to bite the you know, whatever's going on. So, but we did it anyway. I mean, it turned out like such a good song that we just had to do it.
It's so good.
It was a fun one to do. So
I love that. All right, back to your August 1999 questionnaire. Who would you do a duet with? 99.
Oh, 99.
Uh-huh.
I probably said Christina.
Nope.
Mariah.
Nope. It's a boy.
Oh, Brian McKnight.
Close.
Joe.
No. Babyface.
Oh, Babyface. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Yeah. He was on fire back then.
And then your last one, your favorite song.
Probably One Sweet Day, Boys and Men.
Close.
Water Runs Dry.
Nope.
No.
It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
Yes, yes.
Any Boys to Men song, pretty much, right?
Hard to Say Goodbye. I mean, come on.
That's one of the first ones, right?
Yes. And that's every single guy group.
Yeah.
That is probably the first a cappella they ever did.
That you got to learn.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
a great song.
Good. And then your favorite 98 Degrees song in 1999 was?
Invisible Man?
Nope. Which was amazing. That was your first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our first one. That was my favorite one out of all the singles. But, gosh, oh man, I don't know.
It
Yesterday's
was
letter?
Still.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what was going through my mind. That one.
All right, we have some fan questions for you, Jeff. Which band member of 98 Degrees or any 90s boy banders would you want to see on Dancing with the Stars next? This is from Christina Bormeister.
Out of any Any of them?
Any of them.
Well, look, JC was a pretty good dancer, right?
JC was
He's
the
amazing,
best
right?
Dancer.
I would love it. He would crush it on there.
He would. Oh, my God. He would never do it.
He won't do it. Yeah, no. He won't do it.
He won't even leave our backyard.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, he just lives there. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, that man can dance.
He can dance. I mean, all you guys could, but I remember him being, probably one of the best ones, right?
Yeah. I remember because I didn't really say I liked the Mickey Mouse Club, but before Justin and JC joined it. So I was like early Mickey Mouse Club. But I do remember after I joined the band, I was watching clips of him on that show, and he was great.
He's amazing. He's
even
an amazing
at like
singer,
16,
too.
Oh,
such
just,
a good singer.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He is good. What's an underrated song you wish 98 Degrees performed more? This is from Raynim.
There's a song we have called Stay the Night. It's in the tradition of a boy band pop song, but they didn't put it out for some reason. But yeah, we get a lot of requests for that one. Yeah. So I like that one. There's another one that's kind of sad called Yesterday's Letter that we used to perform. We don't perform it. We only perform, now it's just the hits and then,
Well, now that you're legends, you have to just give them the legendary songs.
We can tell them. That's right. We can tell them what we want.
do you ever regret your 98 Degrees tattoo? This is from Disney Girl 885.
Well, look, for a while I did.
Yeah.
So when 98 Degrees was not popular for a while. I was getting, harassing me, like guys at Guitar Center. They're like,
"Did you all
no
get
way.
This?"
No, I got it. And look, it was before we even knew we were gonna, become popular. So I just like, at that time, you just get your tats of your band, right? But yeah, I got it, and then Nick had one that he had in his son, a smaller one.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we felt it was falling off a little bit, he filled it in immediately. but I wore long sleeve shirts for a long time, and my wife was like,
proud of it.
She's like,
be
"You gotta own it. You gotta own it." And then I just was like, "Yeah."
Wait, how did y'all come up with 98 Degrees?
Well, we were called Just Us when we started,
okay.
Right? And then the label was like, "That name sucks. You need to come up with something better." And we made this long list of names. I mean, like all of us, there were probably like 200 names, and they were all bad. We had Verse 4. Next issue.
That would not
get it,
held
new
well
edition,
today.
Next issue.
Very like quintessential boy band.
Yeah. Thing. Could you imagine if they were called Verse 4
Verse
in today's
four.
World? The gays would be like, "What? Okay."
And we literally could not find one that stuck. And we say, because we sing love songs and it's a hot. And we, of course, had our story, but really we couldn't come up with a name. And our manager at the time had a, attractive girlfriend, and she was from New York, and she had a bunch of hot friends, and they were like, "Why don't you guys call yourselves 98 Degrees?" And so we went, "Okay, cool." And so that's out. That was it.
Easy. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's great because a name really does. I mean,
it can make or break
it. It really can. Our original name wasn't going to be anything because Lou Pearlman was like, "I got the name Kismet."
Kismet. Oh wow.
Kismet. That was definitely vetoed.
Yeah.
And then Justin's mom was just like, heard everyone sing, and she was like, "Well, y'all are very in sync." And they're like, "Yep, that's it."
And then who thought of using the initials and all that? Was that after the fact that
after
you guys
kind
of? I was wondering
they
if
they fudged Lance's. They gave him a new nickname.
I know,
just to make it work.
Because the guy I replaced was Jason, so I wasn't in. But I'm Lance, so I have nothing, in there. And so they started trying to call me Lanston.
Lanston, to make it work,
which was kind of like a fun joke for a while, and still. Still, some people that I worked with back then call me that.
They still call you that. That's
joke.
Funny. Yeah.
But after it was going to be either London or Lanston.
Just to make
London.
It work.
Yeah, London. I'm like, okay. And then thank God that just fizzled out. I'm like, okay.
That's what Paris Hilton originally wanted to name her daughter, by the way. London.
I was going
to
say, in sync? Wow, that's really crazy.
Like on the Simple Life and the shows.
London. I like the name London.
I'm going to name my daughter London.
London.
I'm Paris.
All right. Ayo Alexis asks, what was it like working with Stevie Wonder on the song for Mulan?
It was amazing. I mean, you know how these things go. You're not always in the studio with them. So here we thought, man, we're going to be in the studio with Stevie. So no, we didn't get to be in the studio with him, but we did shoot the video with him. And we were so excited, and he couldn't have been cooler, right? You never know what to expect because we worked with some other people and... You're disappointed, but he was incredible.
And the older you get, a lot of times you just don't sound the same anymore. It's just, that's what happens with your vocal cords. Stevie sounds exactly
so
the
good.
Same.
Yeah, he still kills.
I mean, and he probably doesn't even warm up or anything.
I don't know. He had a trailer on the video shoot site, and he had like a whole studio in there and invited us in and sang a bunch of songs for us. So we're like just tripping. We're like, looking at each other like, wow, this is great. That's so surreal. Cool. It was really cool.
And that's what's so fun. I mean, because I'm just always a fan. That's why I have pop culture shows. Like, I just love, I pretty much can find some love for everyone out there. And being able to kind of rub elbows with the people that you love and you're trying to be cool, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even try to be cool. Yeah. I gave up on it a long time ago. And you're exactly right. Like, you know, although we get to travel in some of these circles, we're blessed to, right? We're still fans, right? Hell, that's why you got into music in the first place, right? Because you're fans and, you know. But, yeah, we've had some pretty cool experiences like that.
I love it. Well, Jeff, it has been great catching up with you.
Likewise.
What is next for you personally? And how can everyone stay in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm all on all the socials. Thanks again for having me. Cool. Again, congrats on the baby. Babies, and they're gorgeous. It was great to see them in person, and thanks for, you know, having me be a part of Aaron's event. I'm on all the socials, and you know, look, there are a lot of cool things I'm working on, a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I'm in town, we're creating this really cool label with some pretty cool partners. We're going to be announcing that label and that venture on February 9th. So look out for that, with some great artists, and doing some TV stuff. A documentary's coming out that I'm working on. So just trying to keep busy, always That's working great. On music. So
you've always been so creative.
It's
great. It's your passion. You can tell your passion, and I love that.
Thanks again. Happy to do it. Love it. And I appreciate you guys. Congrats on the show, too.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, Turkey Turchin, that's all I have for everyone. Is there anything else you would like to tell anyone before we let everyone go?
Oh, God, what can I tell? Oh, I was looking at the charts, and you know, we are the number one.
That's right.
On the music pod?
Yes, I did get sent that.
I was like, huh? Is this a typo?
3 weeks in a row, number one in music.
That's incredible, because there are like 60,000 plus podcasts out there. So to be number one
Literally,
on that
I
chart.
Was in a state of shock.
That's incredible.
That. I mean, I've had like three different types of shows, and we never cracked the top 50, I don't think. But thanks to iHeart, they really know how to let people know we're here. So thank you for listening. Who is on the next show? I don't think we know yet. We never know. Or maybe, no, we don't know. Well, it is a surprise, but follow us on our socials, Frosted Tips with Lance, and we will be telling you who's coming up next, because we love your questions, so you'll DM us. We like talking to you there. Jeff, once again, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
And everyone, be good to each other out there. Don't drink and drive, and we will see you next week on Frosted Tips with me, Lance. Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turchin Art.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.